Broadcasting live from the Georgia World Congress Center in Atlanta, Georgia, the Training 2015 Conference and Expo.
Welcome to another exciting and informative edition of Learning Insights. We are coming to you live from the floor of the Training 2015 Expo, and we have with us, Lee, a gentleman who is no stranger to the Business Radio X microphone, Director of Training with Crawford Educational Services. Please join me in welcoming to the broadcast Mr. Bruce. Now, I should have asked about this last name. How do we pronounce that?
Stoff.
Is that how you'd like us to pronounce it as well, Bruce?
Yes.
Stoff. All right. Well, welcome back to the microphone, man.
How you doing, Bruce? Are you enjoying the show so far?
Yes, I am.
What's your favorite part about a show like this?
Well, I like to see what the... it's always fun to go around and see what, if you will, new technology, gadgets are out there for training, new ways to deliver the training, spice it up a little bit.
Did you learn anything good so far?
Well, to be honest with you, I'm going to do most of my looking after I get off the air.
All right.
Because getting here was a challenge.
Because of that rain and traffic in Atlanta.
Yes.
Is always fun, huh?
Yes.
So over the last... year or so there, what's been the proportion of instructor-led classwork versus e-learning? Have you seen any changes?
Not a dramatic change over the last year or so. We made a lot of big changes out about 2-3 years ago, and we're continuing to build on that. I anticipate over the next year it'll actually move a little more towards the e-learning. And when I mention e-learning versus the instructor-led, I'm talking about virtual classroom. It's still instructor-led training, but we have what I think is a very good system for our virtual training. But we are using a lot more of that as opposed to the what we call traditional training in the classroom in Atlanta.
So that's like people in person in a room, that there's less of that now?
Yeah, the traditional being in a classroom here versus the virtual, they're working right from their workstation or a temporary workstation at wherever their office is.
So now, do some classes lend themselves to that more than others?
Yes, if it's one where there's a lot of technical material, maybe a little less in terms of practical application. But don't get me wrong, our virtual classes are not your typical stand there and lecture to a group in a room type program. I think we're hopefully a little unique in that our virtual classes are actually based more on doing the technical study in hours offline and working with the or learning small bits of material. Then they come back and work with the trainer for 3 to 4 hours a day. But most of that is actual hands-on practical application of what they learned the prior day.
So what's the learner feedback? Is it mostly positive or kind of mixed?
It's been very positive, and in part because instead of just sitting there watching, you know, I mean, they're on camera, they've got a microphone, but instead of just sitting there and listening to somebody preach at them all day, they are actively involved, and at the end of the day, they've had an opportunity to ask about things they didn't understand in the material that they were studying the night before when they're doing asymmetric-type training, and it really has worked out well. We've gotten excellent feedback, and the feedback we've gotten back from supervisory personnel that oversee the people that were trained has been extremely good, very, very positive.
So now the level of engagement probably goes up in that kind of environment. Wouldn't you agree?
I would agree completely. Yeah, I'm a believer that if you sit there, especially online, it's even they're going to get less if you just sit there and talk at them. That is not virtual learning. They really need to have it needs to be very hands-on.
Right. So now, before it used to be that you had the technology, so you were just kind of duplicating the old technology, just using the new technology, right? And now you're kind of, it's evolving, and it's now has more engagement. So now, what kind of metrics are you using to measure whether this is working or not, or if it's getting the outcome you desire?
Well, we've got a couple of different metrics. One of the things that we do is on the asymmetric portion of it, we have pre-testing that we can do. And then post-testing to see what additional information they picked up, because some people come in with a certain amount of knowledge. With regards to the virtual class, we go out about We go out about 60 to 90 days, and we talk to the supervisory personnel. Plus, all the work that these people are doing in the field is also reviewed regularly by a quality audit team, and the quality audit team gives us a lot of feedback. And they can look at somebody that's been through the program and usually give us very good feedback on how the individual's doing and make comparisons with somebody who has not had the training.
So it's pretty noticeable if a person went through training or not. You can tell that, you know, when you're kind of checking them out.
Yes. And are you talking about somebody who came in with training?
Or? Right. So a person who's gone through this training in this manner, they're noticeably better than a person who hasn't.
Absolutely. Yeah. And we do. That's where that follow up comes. And the nice thing is the person who's supervising them generally has had an opportunity to work with that individual prior to their coming to training. So that once they get to the training and complete the training, They can definitely see a big difference in a person's abilities or skills and what they've been able to retain. That's the big thing.
Right. It's not 5 minutes after they've taken the learning. It's a month later, three months later, right?
Exactly. Do they know how to apply the knowledge that they've got and apply it correctly? Yes. And so, do they retain that? That's really important.
What's the awesome sauce? What are the tips that we ought to share with some other folks that aren't quite as far along as you guys are in your evolution? Maybe some things for them to watch out for. You could save them a headache or give them a tip.
Are you keeping that on the down low? That's the Crawford secret sauce. You don't want to share that?
No, there is one thing I would tell people, and we really tried to gear this from the very outset when we ventured into the virtual learning. You know, you're still going to be using some of your standard webinar type platforms. I'm not going to sit here and give names and all that, but I mean, whatever you use for your webinars, and we still use, you know, a phone hookup and all that with a headset and everything. But there's some real keys to working with these people. One is make sure that you have an understanding with the managers out in the field, that if this person's working from their work site, they've got to guarantee us a certain number of hours every day for that person to be freed up from their work and not be distracted so that they can focus on what we're doing in the virtual class. The second thing I would tell them, and it's really, really key, is do not try to duplicate stand-up classroom traditional training where you just lecture to people and show them overheads. It doesn't work. It may work better in a traditional classroom, but you've got to get them actively involved. In our virtual classes, the participants do over half the talking. I mean, they're asking questions, they're answering questions, they're examining practice problems, and a lot of open discussion. You've got to keep them actively involved, and we keep the group very small. We never have more than six or seven people in the virtual class.
Now, are you finding that the learner kind of is looking forward to this kind of training because it is so immersive?
The majority of the people in the classes are fairly new hires, and a lot of them are used to a certain amount of this type of training in that we got a lot of millennials. You know, it's not really your boomer generation. It's younger people, and they're very tech savvy. We've gotten very good feedback on that. They seem to enjoy it, and they gain a lot of knowledge from it.
And mobile, how's mobile playing into all of this?
The mobile, we have not brought that in terms of the live portion of the classroom. However, we are putting more and more mobile material out there through what we call our KMC, it's our LMS, and that's where they get most of their technical material. So from the mobile standpoint, when they're doing their asymmetric learning, not the actual with the trainer, they can go out there and do the class. They could go out and do their studying from a mobile device. I should point out, though, a person would not have to be sitting in the office to do the virtual class. I mean, I can literally tap in from my tablet. You know, if you want to talk about mobile, you can be on the road. You don't have to be sitting in the office as long as you have that internet, because it's all through the internet, as long as you have that internet connection. And, you know, you can tap into the webinar. You can tap in.
So now with this evolving so rapidly, what is the stuff that keeps you up at night?
Probably like most managers, most directors, you know, getting the funding to move to, you know, bring something new in, new software, things like that, more than anything you know, making sure that we have everything in place. And another thing is making sure that we've got enough classes scheduled, that we, you know, get people in the seats.
So now, looking ahead, how do you see this kind of growing?
We're actually planning to add a couple of more classes that we just, part of it was we didn't have, we're a small staff, so we didn't have enough staff power to convert all the classes that really needed to be converted. But we've got a couple of real good classes we're in the process of converting that are literally 1 week classes that eventually, hopefully next year, will be in a virtual format. But it's a huge, huge savings for a company when they don't have to put people on a plane to travel.
That's for sure. I'm sure they like that. The CFO likes that, right?
Oh, hey, that's a big thing.
So that's probably an important component, too, is that the CFO is probably signing off on this just from that standpoint, the travel and expenses, right?
Yeah, but, you know, at the same time, we have to be able to, as you asked earlier about the, you know, the follow-up, we've got to be able to demonstrate that people are getting trained at a level comparable,
right,
you know, to the traditional classroom.
Right. So, I mean, the outcome is what you want, and it seems like you're able to achieve that.
Yes.
Well, congratulations. And if somebody wants to learn more about Crawford, or do you have a website?
Yes, they can go to the www.crawfordandcompany, you know,
.com. What about Bruce.com?
Yeah.
No, not at Bruce.com?
No.
Well, it's been an absolute delight having you back on the air, man. Thanks so much for hanging out with us.
It was wonderful being here. I was glad I was able to make it through the storm.
Me too. All right, for Lee Cantor, this is Stone Payton. We'll be back in a few from the floor of 2015 Training Expo and Conference.
This has been a Special Business Radio X production brought to you by Training Pros, your source for local learning and development experts. Learn more at training-pros.com.